Now we are going to examine verse 4, and the title of this section is "The Shepherd, My Shepherd Defends Me." Right, my shepherd defends. And when we talk about defending, he has this idea of protection as well as deliverance. This verse, verse 4, is often the encouragement of many people who lie on the deathbed. Right, because here in verse 4, it says here, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And so many people who lie on the deathbed would like to recite Psalm 23 because it is very comforting to them. But verse 4 does not only apply to those who lie on the deathbed, it applies to also all of us. And we will examine this right now. The picture that we have here in verse 4 is that of a sheep walking through the wilderness of Judah. You will realize if you look at the geography of the land of Israel, you realize that it lies on something called the Central Mountain Ridge. Anyone here have taken Bible geography in FEBC? Rachel, do you take that? Last time? Yes, right, can remember, huh? Central Mountain Ridge. So all Rachel needs is to visit Israel to see for... Have you visited before? No, huh? So you should go and visit and see the real thing then. Wow, really will be very fresh. Down here, Central Mountain Ridge. Goes all the way down to Africa, one of the highest points in the world. And then, this is very high, and then down here, close to the Dead Sea, this portion here, is actually very low. It drops all the way down. Right? And this whole place down here is what we will call the wilderness of Judah. And it is very rocky and is full of valleys. This is exactly the picture that we see in Psalm 23, verse 4. Right? Because David, as you will recall, is a shepherd and he comes from which tribe? Judah. Right? And so he will be shepherding around the area, Judah. And if you actually go to the area, I believe Shuping has gone before, right? But we all go by bus, so we don't go into the actual area. But if you actually go in and... Did you go to the... visit the cave which David hid in last time near the area? No. Well, okay, if you go there, you will see that there are actually a lot of caves. And if you get the opportunity to go around that area of caves, you will find that, you know, if you go under a valley, it will often cast a shadow. And you'll be walking under a shadow. And it's very rocky, very dangerous to climb those areas. The sheep can often slip and fall down. And not only just that, but as you go through that valley, very often there will be predators hiding in the shadows. And you do not know where they are. And so what we have down here in verse 4 is a sheep walking through this kind of valley. Very rocky, very dangerous, and any time the sheep can turn over, and you know what happens when the sheep turns over, right? The sheep, remember, cannot help itself up. And the poor sheep is going to lie there in the valley, only awaiting itself to die, because it cannot get itself up, no food, no water, sooner or later. That's the end of the sheep, our poor sheep. Or it may be walking through the valley and then there is a wolf or a lion or any predator hiding in the shadow which is cast by the valley. And then before you know it, the sheep may be snatched away and then it may be eaten up. And so once again, in order for the sheep to survive, the sheep will be very dependent upon the shepherd. Now the shepherd will definitely have to walk through all these valleys because they are shepherds of Judah. And as they walk through all these valleys, they are full of stones, full of shadows. Well, it's really like the valley of the shadow of death. Hiding behind the shadows is death. And the only comfort that the sheep can have is in the shepherd. And look at the kind of comfort which the sheep have in the shepherd in verse 4. Because the
comfort of the sheep here is stated in very absolute terms. I will fear no evil. And this is very emphatic. In fact, it can be translated here, I will absolutely fear no evil. Because my confidence is so strong in my shepherd, who is the Lord. Well, that is what David is saying down here. For thou art with me. All I need is your presence. As long as you are around, I know that I will be protected. I know that you will defend me. And I know that when I get into trouble, you will help me out of it. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why? Because thy rod and the staff represents the authority and the power of the shepherd. And this will be the two things which the shepherd will use to protect and to guide the sheep through this very tough terrain. The rod will be a weapon primarily used for directing as well as for defense. Mainly for defense. It has, the end is usually like a club, and it is usually 5 to 6 feet according to one particular Bible dictionary which I have read. Now, how long is 5 to 6 feet? 5 to 6 feet is 1.52 to 1.83 meters. Just need to type into Google Chrome. That's what I discovered this morning in the URL. The one, you know, find the one where you type the URL. Now it's so advanced, you just type 5 feet equals. Wow, then the answer come out. Don't even need to click enter. It comes out in the bar. So it says 1.52 and the other one says 1.83. Now how long is 1.52? Your hand is roughly, those who know science, your hand is roughly 1 meter, right? Correct? Or if you have gone to a science laboratory before, have you seen a meter rule? David, have you seen a meter rule? No, huh? So one of your first tasks when you go into the laboratory is to find a meter ruler. Because all your rulers you have now is how many cm? The longest you have. Longest ruler. You know not? What are the common lengths of a ruler, David? 20 years lah. That one not so common though. What is the short one is how many cm, you know? Do you have a short one now inside your pencil box? No. Short one is how much? 15. Then, your long one, long ruler? 30, right? So if you put 3 of the long one together, that is about 1 meter. Still shorter than 1 meter because that one is 90 cm. Right? So a little bit more. That is 1 meter. Now, your hand is about 1 meter. Okay, so about 1.5 of your arm's length. That will be 1.5 meter, which will be about almost close to our height lah. Somewhere, maybe around, maybe my shoulder or what? 1.5 to 1.8. 1.8 is taller than me. Right, 1.8 is taller than me. So, with this type of rod, with a club, what they do is that sometimes when the sheep are moving wrongly, in a certain direction, and it's very dangerous in the terrain of Judah, they may just fall over the cliff and die, or get turned over. If it's too late for the shepherd to reach them, he will just throw this rod, and it will frighten the sheep. You know, sheep are very scared of noise, right? Remember the still waters? Then they will cause them to divert their path. But normally, this rod is used as a defense weapon when you meet with the lions, the bears, and the wolves. You can use it to throw at these predators to kill them, almost like a stone, or you can use it to hit the predators. And remember, the children of Israel are very good at throwing, right? Because over there they like to stone people, yes? Correct, they like to stone people, that's the way of execution, they stone, and when they, you know that stoning is banned in Israel, you know not, the throwing of stones? Because they are so good with the throwing of stones even today, that they can throw and then they can kill you with the stone from afar. So if anybody is found throwing a stone, it's an offense. Really true. And so, if they can throw a stone, one more, they can throw this rod, or they can throw the rod and they can hit the predator and then it can die. That's how powerful the shepherds are. That's what is the rod is used for. Now, staff is the common picture that we see normally. They have this, also about, slightly higher than a man's height, and then you have a hook around. Right? It can also, of course, be used as an offensive weapon or defensive weapon against predators. But most of the time, this is used when the ship overturns. And sometimes when it overturns because of the kind of terrain in that particular area, it overturns in certain areas where it's very hard to reach out with your hand and grab the ship. Also quite dangerous. So what will you use to grab the ship? You will use all this stuff with the hook, and then you will grab him from the maybe the bottom of the cliff or what, and then pull the ship up and grab him up. This will be the kind of instruments which the shepherd would hold with him, signs of his authority. The ship will follow this rod and the staff, and also instruments of very practical use in the defense of the ship, whether against the rough terrain or whether against all these kinds of enemies which the ship may face. When the believers go through this world of darkness, they will surely face many valleys of the shadow of death. Perhaps as a secondary school or primary school or even university student, maybe university starting to have a bit of such valley of shadow of death. Maybe for a primary school and secondary school, we do not encounter such problems whereby we feel as though we are almost close to death. But the older we grow, the bigger the problem becomes. If not, you can ask Sister Xu Ping. I think she probably faced many such encounters. May not result in the person dying, but you really feel like sometimes as though you feel like dying. Because the problem is so great, you cannot handle. And it pressurizes you. And in such cases, you turn to the left, you turn to the right, you look forward, you look backward. There is really no one to help. Your friends cannot help you, your parents cannot help you. Your neighbors cannot help you. Your wife cannot help you. You are all alone. These are the times where you feel that you are really almost at the point of death. And worse still, if perhaps you contract a terminal illness. Just now, Brother Javen just shared with me how he has a friend who has met with a terminal illness and died already, right? She has died. Yeah, she has died from the illness. And we just only need the recent reminder of the students from Katong, Tanjung Katong Primary School as a reminder how easily a young life can be snuffed out. How old were they? They were primary 6 students. They were older than David. And perhaps just slightly younger than many of you down here. I also have encounters with some friends who just died. One student in JC, who was a high jumper, he suddenly just complained of headache, and after a few days, he died of brain hemorrhage. A national jumper. Another friend of mine who we used to talk together in secondary school when he went to Australia during army days. After that, I lost contact with him. He went overseas and then he drove, thinking that it's very safe in Australia. A trailer hit the car and then he died. So I'm very glad that Desmond and Pohau came back safely. Thank God for journey mercies. Life can easily be just snuffed out like this because life is in the hands of our Savior. Death is a very real problem. Young people sometimes do not consider death very much, but every man will one day have to die unless you are part of that blessed group to take part in the rapture. The one you straight away go up. Otherwise, everyone, you will have to meet with at least physical death. Valley of the shadow of death is a real problem in the lives of Christians, and sometimes it can paralyze us and we do not know what to do. Yet there is one person in which we can turn to, one person which can protect us and see us through all these valleys of the shadow of death, and is none other than the Lord. He is the one who will fight our enemies, and we will surely have enemies. Why? Because we are Christians, isn't it? And as Christians, we live in this world which hates Christ, but the people cannot touch Christ anymore because Christ has already ascended into heaven. So who are the people that Who are the people that they will want to touch? They will want to touch all those that follow Christ because we represent Him. We represent our shepherd. And so they will go after us. These are the people who will seek to come in to destroy the sheep of God. Moreover, the Bible reveals to us that our enemies, sometimes although they may take the form of flesh and blood, but behind all these people who try and afflict us is actually a spiritual battle. Our real enemies are wickedness or spiritual wickedness in high places. How to fight such a battle by our own strength? We cannot. We are totally helpless because we are physical, isn't it? We may have our grenades, we may have our nuclear weapons, but these will be utterly useless against foes in the spiritual domain. The only one that can see us through, and the only one that can defend His sheep, then will be God Himself. Now, how does a shepherd fight the enemies? Now, he fight the enemies using the rod and the staff, isn't it? Now, how do you fight such a battle? You think the shepherd will go to the prey and then say, or predator, and then say, "Hi, sayang, sayang, go away, okay, go away," then use the rod and then poke, 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 please go away. Oh, I think not only will the sheep die, I think the shepherd also die. Right, you don't fight like that, right? How do you fight? When you fight, if you go to any army commander, go and ask Brother Amos, okay, how he will fight, you will fight fierce. You will not shrink from the battle, you will not say, this will not do, isn't it? And so when the shepherd, when the Lord fights for us, He really fights for us fiercely and with great passion and with great zeal and vigor. This will be how He will protect the sheep. And knowing that we have such a person defending us, and who is the Lord? Right? God is one who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Shouldn't it be of great comfort to us? And so yes, though in the workplace, sometimes we may have people trying to undermine us, trying to destroy us, and they will come. And the older you grow, the more you will see who is it that will protect you. Now, if the Lord truly calls you, and you are, and it, He means it for you to be there, and your time is not up, well, you will stay there. The enemies will try everything to undermine you, but you will realize that nothing avails. And even if they destroy you, is that the end? Well, that is in fact not the end. That is victory. Because we know that when the believer dies, unlike the unbeliever, right? The unbeliever, when he physically dies, well, the soul enters into hell, awaiting for judgment in the lake of fire. And then the body lies in the grave, awaiting the time of the second resurrection, whereby they will be raised up, and then they will be judged, and then they'll be thrown into a lake of fire. That I will cover later. Okay, this one, I want you all to be very sure about this topic of death. I will cover later. How about for the believer? Well, for the believer, the soul goes to heaven, awaiting the time of the first resurrection, which is unto life. And there is commencement, right? We will be together with the Lord. Jesus Christ has already defeated sin and death. And so when we talk about death, that is why it's used here, the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, death, but yet in a way it's only the shadow. It has no power over us. Why? Because the Savior has already won the victory for us. Why then Is there anything to fear? And so, I know of one pastor who often goes about when it comes to the young people. And then he, not only young people, but his congregation members, and then he will often ask, are you ready to die? So maybe we should do that today. Maybe the visit to the cemetery isn't really a bad idea. And young people, are you ready to die? When you die today, do you know where you are going? Well, if you are truly a sheep of the Lord, well, this question you will answer affirmative. I am going to heaven, and you know for sure, and you're not afraid of death. And even if, let's say, death may, right, being human, of course we do not want to die, we may sometimes be a little apprehensive about death, yet our minds will very quickly recall what is written here in Psalm 23 and in the scriptures. And then we will be very comforted. I remember my grandmother when she was about to die. I asked my grandmother, are you ready to meet with the Lord? Are you ready to die? She couldn't talk anymore, but she was very peaceful. She was very happy. Why? Because she knows the Lord. The Lord has already won the victory for her. And so, when young children and when teenagers, young people like you down here go into the schools, sometimes you may meet with a lot of problems, with a lot of things that threaten to stress you out. And sometimes you may even meet with bullies. Are there bullies in school? Of course there are, right? There are many different types of bullies. Some bullies work with their hands and feet. Some bullies, and if they are very clever bullies, they don't use hands and feet, they use words. They use hidden, covert means, secret means to undermine you. Do you need to be scared of them? No need, isn't it? Because the Lord here promises you, I've already won the victory. And if I've called you to be there, don't worry, I will protect and defend you. This doesn't mean that you will not receive a punch from the bully. Sometimes it may happen that the Lord permits us to receive all these problems, but it doesn't mean an absence of all these things. But the Lord will grant us the grace to see us through. And you'll be very surprised. Sometimes the way how the Lord delivers can be very amazing. Maybe one day the bully try and throw a fist at you, and then you think that it's going to hit you, and then suddenly the whole bully flies. Have you ever seen situations like this? Well, adults will drive, they will know. Sometimes, really, it seems as though cars are going to hit you. And then, you do not know how you escape out of it, isn't it? So what more, all these things can happen when you deal with your personal enemies. And when the Lord fights, He really fights. Now, if the Lord then defends the sheep in this way, and it's a requirement of the shepherd himself, the Lord himself, to defend his sheep, then surely when he comes for the under-shepherd, they will also have to defend the sheep, isn't it? And when they defend the sheep, how are they supposed to defend the sheep? Never mind, come in and eat the sheep. You know, you wolves, you lions, you bears, welcome. This is the church of God. I am Mr. Nice Guy. Please eat. Please eat the sheep. Of course not, isn't it? He's not going to declare and to fight God's battle with a whimper. He must hear the rod and staff of God's word with great zeal, with great passion. This whole incident of the Far Eastern Bible College, I know recently in the Shulman retreat, we learned one particular aspect of it. and that is in the midst of a battle, we must not forget our Christian identity, right? That was what was spoken. At least that was what I read in the testimony. Must not forget our Christian identity, that is, when we contend, we must remember why we are contending, and we are contending because we have this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we contend, we must make sure we never lose our Christian testimony. The reason and basis of why we contend, the motive must be because of the love of Christ. On the other hand, I am very thankful that my teachers are not people who are wimps. You just imagine if the Far Eastern Bible College, when faced with such an attack, says, oh, please come in and do whatever you like to the college. It would be a dereliction of duty of the shepherds, isn't it? Those who are called to watch over the college, and many of these who call to watch over the college, they are also pastors. I was very thankful for this opportunity to enter into the Far Eastern Bible College at the point of time where they were about to lock up the classrooms. In fact, when I registered to go in, it was exactly at the time where they threatened to lock up the classrooms, and I didn't know whether when I go in on the day of prayer, whether I have a classroom to attend. Now, for a Singaporean, still not too bad, right? Because we are still at home. You just imagine for the foreign students who come in, they come all the way to study God's Word. They say they are called by the Lord. And they believe that here in Singapore, in the Far Eastern Bible College, they will receive an education grounded in God's Word so they may go out to be future pastors or missionaries. And there they are here, and then we refuse to defend God's Word. And then when it comes to a situation like this, oh, please come in and do whatever you like. Moreover, God's Word also says that whatever God has given, the ancient landmark, we are not supposed to remove. Now, this is the picture of how in a land, and you know, in the land of Israel, people are designated various lots, isn't it? It's by lot. And this lot, they cannot give up. That's why Naboth cannot sell his vineyard, because once this lot is given to you, you are supposed to be steward of the lot, steward of the land, the lot that you are given, and you cannot let it go. So come in and take. Okay, so don't contend. Come in and take, and then what happened to all these students? Go back home? Nowhere to stay? Oh, that would be a dereliction of duty of a pastor and of a, in the case of FEBC, of a lecturer. So, if you have any pastor or leaders or elders who when the situation arises, refuses to contend for the faith, refuses to, you know, if any false teachers come among you or any problems happening in the congregation and refuse to deal with it, I just want to remain Mr. Nice Guy, then he fails what is written in verse 4, to defend the sheep. Please understand. And so when we talk about the Lord as the good shepherd, and then those who, God willing, are called to be under shepherds, and perhaps you're down here, I hope you also understand the role of the under shepherds. When the under-shepherds do such things, please have a good understanding why these things are done. You need to have the full picture of what the shepherd is supposed to do. So take note. A shepherd who does not contend and who does not defend the sheep is a derelict shepherd. Because the Lord himself, the picture of him is that he will do what it takes to defend us from all kinds of predators. And because he does that, it's comforting to us. And for me, when I see that those who were shepherds over my life in those days, when they fought very fiercely for the battle, I was very comforted. In fact, if they don't fight, you should be very worried. You have weaklings as as those that are looking after you, you better pray that the Lord will strengthen them. But then, on the other hand, let's talk about death. Final enemy is death, right? How are we to cope with this? What is it that can comfort us? It is the Lord, right? And once again, when we talk about the Lord comforting us with the rod and thy staff, you will notice that that's not mentioned, that the rod and the staff is none other than God's word, isn't it? Because the battle is a spiritual battle, it's God's word that can protect us. And it's also God's word that can comfort us. And just recently I was given a task to preach from this particular passage, which I think will bring much light to what we see here in verse 4. Right, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. And here God's word says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now what is happening here to the church at Thessalonica is this. There were some who have died and they were laying in the grave. And those people were confused with regards to how to handle this situation. Does that mean the end of my fellow brethren? And later on in 2 Thessalonians is revealed that there were also false teachers who are coming in who are messing up their understanding of the things of the last days, the things of the end times, and with regards to the doctrine of the resurrection and the rapture. And so they were very confused, and so Paul had to write this epistle saying, please don't be ignorant. These people which you see laying in the grave, if they are truly in Christ, right, they are truly believers, they are actually just asleep. Now, that doesn't mean that they have not died. They really did die. But why asleep? Because when a person is asleep, what happens? Now, how many of you here are very deep sleepers? Some are not, right, but some are deep sleepers. And when you have deep sleepers, when they are asleep, you try poking them, they will not awake, right? They are oblivious to the things of the world, correct? But are they always like that? No, right? Sleep is temporal, right? After a while, they will wake up. And when they wake up, they are very awake. And some people, when they awake, you can hear them. You can hear them talk. Or you know, oh, this person is awake. And so it is for these people. It's only temporal. It's a temporal state of events, because soon they will be risen up again from the dead, just like how the Lord Jesus Christ was risen again out from the dead. And so if you look at verse 15 to verse 18, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." You see that? The word comfort? Now this word comfort is the word paraclete, where we get the word comforter for the Holy Spirit. And so it talks about a person going aside to encourage, to comfort. So it has both meanings of encouragement and comfort. And we are supposed to comfort one another using these words. Now what are these words? These words are the words of Scripture. Why? How do we know this? Because in verse 15, Paul says, "For this we say unto you by what?" Not my own words. Not the words of Hong Hao or Bo Hao or Tian Jun. Not by the words of Preacher Clement Chiu. but by the words of the Lord. And the Lord here is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As you can see in verse 15, right, the word of the Lord, and we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, right, and the coming of the Lord, of course, must be the Lord Jesus Christ, shall not prevent them which are asleep. And so what is the comfort? The comfort of the Christian is none other than God and his word. This is the rod and the staff that is in verse 4. And this I learned very much from my own pastor. And many times people come to him for help. And then when they go to him for help, sometimes they expect very quick answers. Now, normally when people go to you for help, how do we answer? Sometimes we like to say, I understand, isn't it? Even in religious service, sometimes we try and say, we understand. Now, let's just pause and think for a while. Do we really understand? Now, maybe we may be able to understand a little bit of it, but do we really fully understand? Now, this portion here especially deals with death, right? Now, for a person that died, the person that lies in the grave, this loved one, okay, and this loved one that lies in the grave, let's say it is in Christ, because here deals with those that died in Christ. Everybody would have a unique living experience with this particular person, right? Now, these people who are the loved ones now, who are supposed to be comforted by you, right? You are supposed to comfort them with the scriptures. Now, they have their own unique experience with this loved one. And with regards to your own loved ones, you will have a very different set of living experience, isn't it? How many of you have exactly the same type of life? Anyone here have exactly the same type of life? Even if you have the same number of brothers and sisters, the type of life you have your brothers and sisters will be different from how this person will have a life with his own brothers and sisters. Everyone, okay, we may have mothers and fathers, right? But our experience with our mothers and fathers will be very different from the experience of this other person who has his mother and father. Everybody has a different, unique experience. And so when we say we understand, are you sure we really understand fully? Of course not, isn't it? The only one that understands this person fully will be the shepherd himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He understands fully because he's the only one who is omniscient. He's the only one who is omnipresent. And he loves and cares for every one of his sheep. And so what is the way to comfort this person? Is to point that person to the Lord Jesus Christ himself and to his word. And so therefore, when the Apostle Paul wrote this portion, he says here, comfort one another with these words, with the words of scripture, with the words of the Lord, because only the divine shepherd can understand his sheep fully. And that was exactly what this pastor, my pastor, told the people. He says, please, look into the scriptures, look to God, because I cannot solve your problem. Only God can solve your problem, and the answer is there in scripture. And in this case, what we are supposed to comfort the living here is with the doctrine of the first resurrection, right? That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. And here the word prevent here talks about going before. But we shall not go before them which are asleep. They shall be raised up from... Right, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He cannot wait. He himself will quickly come down, even though they are supposed to... Even though the call to for them to ascend will be given the command, right? The word shout here is a war cry. War cry, come up! Will be given via an agent, which is the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, I know there is a doctrine going about which says that Christians will not die. If Christians will not die, why is it called the dead in Christ here? But then again, we have to explain John chapter 11, verse 26, which says, shall never die, right? And there it is double negative, shall never die, ume, that means shall absolutely never die. And yet here they are called the dead in Christ. Well, the reason is very simple. Because for the Christian, physical death means very different things. Physical death is commencement for the Christian unto eternal life. For the unbeliever, it will be the end for him. It is a seal unto condemnation. And so when we talk about John chapter 11, verse 27, in my personal opinion, when they say shall never die, it refers to what we will call the both the spiritual death and his second death. But for the Christian, with regards to his spiritual death and the second death, because he has already been quickened by the Holy Spirit, he will also not experience the second death, that he shall never die. And the dead in Christ indeed shall rise first. This is the first resurrection. As in contrast to the second resurrection, which we can read in Revelation chapter 20, which will be a resurrection unto condemnation in the lake of fire. Then when it comes to verse 17, the rapture, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The Lord cannot bear to wait to meet with all of us, and so he will go down halfways in the air in order to meet with us. And then here it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't it of great comfort? These people we should see that lie in the grave because they are dead in Christ. Please know that this is not an eternal parting. One day you shall indeed meet with all these loved ones which have already died. And you will not only be together with them, you will be together with your shepherd. The shepherd has already won the victory. The shepherd has already risen again from the dead. This is our comfort. And so when we talk about death, that's why death here is talked about as a sleep. That's why death in Psalm 23 verse 4 is just said to be a shadow of death. Death has no power over us. Death has lost its sting. But the question for us, who is this? Again, one more time, is whether or not you are the Lord's sheep. Because if you are not the Lord's sheep, then the comfort that you find here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 15 to 18 with regard to those that are dead and with regard to yourself, right? Comfort one another, right? One another refers to the living, right? And not just to those who are bereaved, but also right among all ourselves, right? Because everyone faces the threat of death, right? Correct? Yes? And everyone also goes through the valley of the shadow of death. These doctrines will comfort us, isn't it? And then what is stated in Psalm 23 verse 4 is also supposed to be for us, for our comfort. But all these things will not apply to us because we are not the Lord's sheep. Psalm 23 is only for the Lord's sheep. And so that is why, even for today, we still end off with the same question. Just like how we ended the day yesterday at the prayer meeting with the question, are you the Lord's sheep? Are you Christ's sheep? The same question now is given to everyone here today. It is so important, you must know. Are you Christ's sheep? Because if you are Christ's sheep, if you belong to Christ, Psalm 23 verse 4 is so comforting, isn't it? Even death is just a shadow. Death is just a sleep. But if you are not belonging to the Lord, you are not his sheep, death is not a shadow. Death is not a sleep. Death is your conqueror. Death is your end. Death, as described as sleep, can only apply to Christians. Death as a shadow can only apply to Christians. And so whose sheep are you? Make sure you are the Lord's. And if you are indeed the Lord's sheep, there is nothing for you to fear in this life. Nothing. Not even the cockroach. Yes, cockroach? Any cockroach last night? No more. Who still have? Are you scared of cockroach? I personally am actually quite scared of cockroach, because from young my mother brought me up, she's very scared of cockroach. Once she see cockroach, she scream. At least I developed a little thick skin to be able to use the insecticide. But actually, if you think about it, even cockroach also not scared, right? I mean, death also, you're not supposed to be scared. Why are you scared of cockroach, right? Why? Because victory already won in Christ. Christ has fought the battle for us. And even in the church, when you talk about all the various problems and challenges, who is it that can solve the problems in church? Christ is the one. And you ask for anyone who is a true under-shepherd, he will say, my comfort is also in the shepherd, because the problems are not solved by me. The problems are solved by the Lord, who is the one who will sustain and protect and defend his church. The reason why Tabernacle BP Church stands today is not because of anyone. It's by the grace and mercy of the Lord who defends his sheep. Let us pray. Most gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou art the defender of thy sheep. And Lord, thou knowest the various enemies that we face and the spiritual battle that we are in. But we know that in the Lord Jesus Christ, victory is already won. For our good shepherd has already defeated sin and death. What more have we to fear, O Lord? So continue to remind us of this truth and continue to direct us into a greater understanding of who thou art. May our love and may our trust in thee increase. Help us always to trust in thy word, to be found under the care of thy rod and thy staff. Be very merciful unto us, and guide us and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.